Okay, a big, big mazel tov. This is already the second seam in just a few weeks. I see this year is growing Torah by leaps and bounds. And great to see, Hanan, you come back to the share. I'd like to welcome Stephen. I was told you.
Stuart.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. So, it's Hanukkah, and we chose a Hanukkah topic, mistakes in lighting of the menorah. And mistakes here in particular deal with numbers. And I thought it's quite ironic. In general, Jews are known for being quite good at numbers, right? A lot of Jewish accountants out there. And numbers in general,
including in here,
out there and in here. But when it comes to halachas, mitzvahs that we need to perform with numbers, you know, on Pesach we have Echad Miyodea, Shnai Miyodea. We go through, Judaism is very into numbers. People like gematrias. Someone just told me over, a Rav said over gematria. It was off by 10, so he came up with like some idea of, you know, how he worked it out. But yeah, different types of accountants around there. Yeah, the new map. But
just don't say the number of
candles
we like.
Oh, I'm gonna get to that. Yeah, so Jews get very nervous. Although I think it's really more nervous numbers, right? You see that by counting the sphira. You know, people get nervous, especially if they have to go up to the Amud and they have to be the one to count. That's why in a lot of shuls they just put on the rabbis. You know, watch the rabbis. Maybe have to one to count. You know, he's the only one to keep the number straight. But Hanukkah also potentially could get into number issues. We know that the starting point of the mitzvah of Hanukkah is to light just one candle per night, per family. There's an added mitzvah, Mahadrin, for a person to go up. And each night, each progressive night of Hanukkah, to light another candle. And there's Mahadrin, Minimahadrin, that Ashkenazic homes practice, where every person in the home would light their own menorah in this fashion of lighting per the night. Yeah, have to be careful about fires, but that's how it's done. So I came across a very interesting shayla, very interesting question. New sefer that came out. It's from a posik in Lakewood, actually one of the Lakewood Yeshiva Proskim, or Forsheimer, dealt with the following question. It's found on your sheets. He writes, Be'erev Shabbat Hu Yom Vav de Chanukah. On a year where Friday came out to be the sixth night of Chanukah. This guy was not only nervous of his numbers, he was also nervous, like, oh no, I want to be able to light Motzi Shabbos, you know, right away. Why that? He decided that. And he put in an extra thing of oil there. So, B'shas Adlak of Erev Shabbos, Tal Ruvain, V'hidrik Kolam Neros Menachem Afanav. He lit all the Neros in front of him. So on Friday evening, last week we spoke about a share about when to light yesterday, you know, Friday evening, when to light. And so here he had a case where a person messed up and lit an extra candle on Friday night. So the full blunt of this question is, would he have to go and, let's say he himself wasn't Mekabel Shabbos, or even if he was Mekabel Shabbos, to find someone else who wasn't Mekabel Shabbos, or maybe even a guy, I don't know, to go and blow out that extra candle. He lit an extra candle. It gets tricky because it was Friday night, so not so easy just to extinguish it. What happens if you lit an extra candle on Hanukkah? On the sixth night, you lit seven candles.
It'd still be the same question if it was the day before.
Yeah, yeah. This question, correct, would apply to any night of Hanukkah. If tonight, instead of lighting four candles, you light five, you jump the gun. It'd be a similar Shiloh. Maybe we should debate what happens if you cut corners. We'll talk about that case too. Let's say tonight's the fourth night, but you only lit three. All these types of questions. Now, Harvey, I know what you would paskin. If you mess up on the number of candles for Hanukkah, you can no longer light the rest of Hanukkah with a bracha. Right? Just like my Sfirisa Omer, if you mess up on the number, this is for an entire day, you could no longer count with a bracha. You should continue to count, but without a bracha. So Harvey says, Rabbi Harvey says, that you would count with, you continue counting Hanukkah, but without a bracha. Okay. I did not see that in print. I anticipated that. If you miss, for sure, if you miss a candle. Yeah. That's where the extra oil is. So actually the Shiloh is a very interesting Shiloh. You do find people in the earlier generations who spoke about this, but we'll see. I don't think it was so easily navigated, such a question like this. And we'll go through, hopefully step by step, a few ideas.
I'm concerned about him for the last night. If he's going up and up and up. That's where I'm
right. Eventually, I assume we'll catch up to him.
That's my only area.
Right? Josh has a very good point. If he counted the wrong, number, he counted up, and he thinks Hanukkah's finished, and his grandkids are saying, "I need a present for the eighth day." So yeah.
Like I said, there's no more spots. There's no more spots on the Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So he's stuck.
Yes, this is potentially a mistake that could have a trickle effect on many nights of Hanukkah. But I'll tell you when the first Psakim goes back to the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer is the son of the Chassam Sofer, major Rav of Hungarian Jewry, obviously pre the war, and goes back, quite a way before the war, we're talking. 19th century. Early. But the Ksav Sofer paskens the following thing. He goes as far as saying you absolutely have to extinguish it and relight. Not only did you not fulfill what you call the extra mitzvah, the mahadran, minimum mahadran idea of lighting extra candles per each night, but you failed even on the most basic level. You failed, we originally set up, right? There's the most basic level, just light one candle. One candle per night to mark the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. The whole idea of eight candles is an extra mitzvah, it's mahadran. But the Ksav Sofer says, this is such a bad mistake. On the sixth night, you lit seven candles, the whole thing is bad, you weren't yotzei anything. Why is that so? It gets very tricky. In this type of case, right? According now,
let me take a simple case where it's not Shabbos.
Yeah, let's talk about a not Shabbos case. It sounds like according to Ksav Sofer, you would be, it'll be impossible for you, once you're already Merkabel Shabbos, the mitzvah is for you to light, right? Make a shliach. Light in your house. Okay, that gets complicated in all other circuits. But let's talk. Yes. Yes. Right? We should do a check. We spoke about this last week, about when to light on a Friday afternoon. But So yeah, let's start dealing with his answer on a non-Friday case. Okay? This happened tonight, Sunday night. Instead of lighting 4 candles, he lit 5 candles. So according to the Ksav Sofer, that's invalid. And he would have to blow them out, relight 4 candles.
With a bracha?
Good question. Let's see how they write it over. Look at the Lashon. It's in the middle of the sheet. He says, the mi'acha shadaito haya lahadik ba'ovin mahajin. You tried to do it in the best possible way. V'log b'din nirish shabes b'vad. You weren't just doing the basic layer, basic level of 1 candle per household. Kishakilka ha'minyan, when you mess up on the number, chayiv lachser, you're going to have to redo it. U'lahavlik b'bracha. You even have to make a new bracha. The Ksav Sofer goes as far as saying what you did was a total mistake, a total mess up. You have to redo the mitzvah. Even to the extent, it really means your first bracha was a bracha levatala, it was a bracha in vain, and you have to make a new bracha.
So what if you did this on the first night? What happened to the second night?
You have the 2 on the first night. That's a good question. Why is the guy lighting 2 on the first night? Now, really, right, the halacha is if you forget the shachianu on the first night, you can make it the second night. So, Mustafa, that's the case. The guy forgot. He thought he forgot last night. He thought he came late to the party. So he lit 2, and he made a shachianu, but it really was the first night. That's your case. So I believe the halacha would be the shachianu is calling on the mitzvah you're performing. He didn't properly perform the mitzvah. Yeah, for sure. The question I have, this is a very good question. I'm not sure. That's a very interesting question. I wasn't prepared for such a good question.
Retaliation comes quick.
You see, this year is very interactive. This is not. I never know what I'm going to be ready for.
Even
on the Shas and Nisim, I hear a Shiloh. You know, like the Baruch of Shas and Nisim, very famous, interesting halacha. Let's say a person doesn't have a menorah, has no access to lighting menorah. But you're passing, you know, the windows in the world, Macy's. Now, there I doubt they have a real menorah in front of them. But if you pass by a Jewish person's home and you see a menorah in the window, you could recite a Sha'asa Nisim on his menorah. When I see a menorah, so I wonder if just seeing a menorah is sufficient, maybe even seeing a menorah with the wrong number of candles might be sufficient. I don't know.
But you haven't yet.
Huh?
But you haven't yet.
No, I did see.
You're fixing this now.
I assume the case the Harvey gave was that I did all my lighting.
Right.
I finished it. I met all 3 brachas. Then afterwards, I realized, I made a mistake.
Yeah, but you did all of these menorahs wrong, so you still haven't seen the kosher menorah yet, according to this whole thing.
Yeah, but is the shaila, do you have to see a kosher menorah, or do you have to see Hanukkah? The same thing with Shachianu. Is Shachianu specifically on you performing the mitzvah properly, or is it coming to the date of Hanukkah? And thanking Hashem that we were zochah to come to Hanukkah. Now, Chazal koveit on the mitzvah. So I started doing the mitzvah. I didn't complete it. I did the wrong mitzvah. But for sure, the bracha of Hadlakas and Neres Hanukkah, you know, you check the tshuva inside of the Ksav Sofer. And he says you would have to relight. But let me first explain his understanding. It's not so easy. Not a simple idea. Sounds like the Ksav Sofer understands. Is even though there's multiple layers of how to do the mitzvah, but when you choose to do it mahajim and mahadrin, he doesn't view that as just another layer. So you peel away the top layer, which I did incorrectly, but I still have the most basic layer of a candle there, and that's good enough. According to Ksav Sofer, no. When you light, let's say, 4 candles on the fourth night, that's a totally different type of lighting than lighting 1 candle. It's a totally different option. It's not an added candle, an added layer, but rather a a totally different thing. And therefore, if you make any mistake in the number of the candles, you did nothing. You can't just peel it away, oh, I did the lower level. It's not true according to Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer views it qualitatively as a separate mitzvah.
Why is it viewed, why didn't you even do the, why would you say, it's mashmah very much that you did at least the lower level. I mean, it doesn't count because you had to mind to do the higher level. But why even the lower level does it count? Because what do you do? What the basic chiyuv is just one per household. You didn't do that because you did multiple. The second level is one per person. You didn't do that either. And the third, and you didn't do the third level either. It wasn't nikkur anything for Hanukkah. It looks like it's a bunch of lights.
So you're back in the Ksav Sofer.
No, I'm asking. He says it's only because you had in mind to do Mahadrim and Mahadrim, and then you did something different. So, but why is that true? Let's say I had in mind to do Mahadrim,
yeah.
And one per person, and I love one extra also.
So we'll get to that case in a moment. Good point. But in terms of the lighting, the way it seems like Ksav Sofer is viewing it, is qualitatively, that's a different lighting. And the Mela comes out from that, that if you did it, a qualitative different lighting, okay, you didn't do the mitzvah. If you have stopped at one, that's a different thing you're doing. You're doing the concept of one candle per night. I'm not doing that. So we're going to get to that. So this is one idea that's out there. So according to him, you blew the whole thing. Pun intended. But comes, it seems, for the most part, there is a Mishabura in Simon Tav Reish Ayin Beis of Katan Vav that brings a Prima Gadim that sounds like the Prima Gadim was also debating this idea, and I think there's room for the Ksav Sofer's point on that. But most Achronim, most later Poskim, do not agree with this stance, and they would say that for sure you are, you would say, the lower level, just the higher level you're not Yotze. And they view it as not qualitatively a different lighting, but an add-on. So even where I lit multiple candles, I still could, if the multiple doesn't work, I still have the basic level. And that still will work even in this case, and I'll explain in a moment why. Yes?
Regular halachos scenarios for a Friday night for a woman who has children and does multiple candles. I understand if you're visiting someplace and you only do two because that's what could be, then when you're making the bracha, you have that in mind. But if you accidentally do the wrong number of candles at home on a regular Friday night, are they yotze? Do they have to go back to light candles?
Mr. Mayeroff, you're on a roll today. Not only did you make a beautiful scene with your son, you actually, this idea was said by none other than Rosh Shlomo Kluger, who wrote the Chachma Shlomo Shulchan Aruch, I think for years, as a yeshiva in New York. She was a Shlomo Kluger.
I think you got a room full of
You never know how much you have to prepare for this. So that's a very good point. And I was debating to put that in the sheet. Now I see it. There's extra room. We'll put it on. But he makes that comparison. It's just like a woman by Shabbos candles, right? The mitzvah is Zalchav Shamar for a woman to light two candles. We know many women light multiple candles. I know there's a woman in this neighborhood, she lights, I've seen it, huh? Yeah? Yeah, 30-something? 20-something. It looks more than your Hanukkah table on the average Shabbos. She doesn't have 20-something kids. But it's dumb. She has
30
No, no, on a regular Shabbos. He was talking about, just like by Shabbos candles, people could add more.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the big deal? Why don't we add more? There shouldn't be any, it shouldn't take away in any sense when it comes to Hanukkah if you add more. So people bring this idea, comparing it to Shabbos candles. However, I saw seemingly a solid pushback that there's a big difference. By Shabbos candles, they're the mitzvahs to light two candles to provide light for the husband and wife in the home. Adding more candles, anything, makes it better. There's even more light. As opposed to by Hanukkah, the number, if you're going to add more than one, what you're doing with that number is commemorating what night of Hanukkah it is. So thus, where the number of the candles is also supposed to show something. Buy Shabbos candles. You need two, Zohar and Shomer. Women want to add more candles. People have more when they have more children. Or in general, they add more. There's a halacha. If they forget one time, they have to light, there's a knas. From now on, you have to light an extra candle. Seems the rabbis were in the business with the candle companies. Right? So there, the number doesn't really, it's not the purpose of lighting another candle is not to show a specific number per se. So there, yeah, you could have more. It's not a big deal. But by Hanukkah, where the reason why you're adding more candles is to show and recognize what night of Hanukkah it is, that's a big difference. Maybe there, if you put out the wrong number, it jeopardizes the whole thing. So that's one discussion they have on your point. Now, I found another discussion, which is very, very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Resh Ayin Hei Sif Katan Hei, it's on the top of the sheets, it's quoted, brings a Chai Adam. He talks about, let's say, last night was the third night of Hanukkah. That was the case. Shemisha Yeshla Belel Gimel Rak Beis Neros. On the third night of Hanukkah, a person only has two candles. I remember here, coming here in South Florida, you know, New York, you could get whatever you need all the time. South Florida, in the community, I mean, right? You never know what they're going to run out of. I remember the first night of Hanukkah in this community, there weren't enough candles. Stores were out of candles a few years ago.
Rabbi, doesn't everybody get their candles from
television? Right, don't they get in the mail, the box in the mail, together with their charusas for Pesach?
That's right.
Right? They should send them together, one mailing. It's the same thing.
No, but then you get double the donation.
Right. But, so sometimes you have these situations, you don't have candles. So let's say last night, only had two candles, it's Motzi Shabbos, what stores are open? So instead of lighting three, you only have two candles. What should you do? I don't have three. I have no neighbors to get from. I have two candles and it's the third night. So the Chavetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Adam, Lo Yad Beis Rak Achas. You only light, don't light three, don't light two, just light one. Sounds like his understanding is that since you're not going to get the number right, don't add a candle. Because if you're going to add a candle, you're going to have the wrong number. And we're fearful of the wrong number. Just light one. And you have one extra candle, put it away for next year.
Tomorrow.
But if you only have two candles and it's the third night, Chavetz Chaim clearly brings in the Mishnah Berurah, only light one candle, that's it. So it would sound like, and actually the Chai Adam does seem to say this in a different spot, that perhaps, you know, as if you light the wrong number, that would be a big problem. Yes?
The question implies that tomorrow you'll be able to get more candles, because otherwise there'd be no question, because you have to save the other candle for the next night.
Right. Good point. Or unless you have a miracle of Hanukkah where your candle keeps them burning.
The question is, if you make a bracha, if it's still burning for the previous night, you make a bracha.
Good kasha. But I found a very, very fascinating thing. One of the most famous svarim written on the Mishnah Berurah was written by Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He wrote a sefer, Shona Halachos. What he did with his sefer was, the Chavetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah as sort of a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So he has on the Shulchan Aruch on top with the Ramah, and underneath, right, Chavetz Chaim wrote his Sefer as a perish, as an explanation of what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. That's how the Chavetz Chaim formatted it. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky felt, you know, a nice idea. People want to review what the Chavetz Chaim writes. The best way to do it is to put it down per line of halachas. 100 halachas, write them out straight. Chavetz Chaim wrote it as a perush. as an explanation on the Shulchan Aruch. But a lot of times, a person wants to review, give him a list of halachas to review. Very smart way of doing it. So that's what Chaim Kanievsky is, one of his major first farm that he wrote. Three volumes going through the whole Mishnah Berurah. But he did one caveat. Being the fact he was a student of his uncle, the Chazon Ish, he added in any place where the Chazon Ish would argue with the Chafetz Chaim, he added that in. That's the nature of the Sefer Shona Halachos. One very interesting thing, which I'm not sure you find in any other spot in the Sefer, is when it comes to Hilchos Chanukah, when it comes to this particular halacha, on this third night, you only have two candles, he brings from Rav Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, I guess you call one of his neighbors there in B'nai Brak, he brings from Rav Shach. Rav Shach has a Sefer on the Rambam. It's not a halacha Sefer, we call it Yeshiva, a Lamdisha Sefer, simply more academic. But he brings from Rav Shach, the Rav Shach says, no, in such a case, you'd like two candles. Now, I assume a lot of people were bothered by when they read the Sefer. You know, he has no other references. His Sefer is summarizing the Mishnah Berurah and bringing wherever the Chazon Ish argues. How come over here, in particular, he happens to have something from Rav Shach? So Rav Chaim has another Sefer, Taima Dekra, which is a Sefer on Chumash. In the back, after Parshas Miketz, he has stuff on Chanukah. Over there, it's pretty cool. Over there, I found the following comment by Rav Chaim. People were asking me, why did I bring Rav Shach? Right? They think there's probably a story. He owed them something, so he decided to quote him once. There are stories like that. When you write a sefer, you have the poetic license to put who you want in the Sefer. If you see, you know, Art Scroll Stone Chumash, they quote other people which are not quoted in other things of Art Scroll, because the stones ask for different people to be quoted. So, yeah. So, they thought it's probably some story. Hey, what's the story behind Rav Shach being quoted once, seemingly, in the Shona Halachas? So he writes over here in Time of the Kra, the Shafti Avar Shalniz Daiti, you know why I wrote him in? Devarim Nechonim Mechrachim, because I think he's right. Not bad. He brings that despite the fact that he's going up against it's the Chai Adam, it's the Chavetz Chaim, also even the Beis Halevi. But he says, no, if you had two candles on the third night, you could light two candles. And there's no problem whatsoever of it not looking the right way. Basically, the reason he comes out with is two reasons. But one is that we pass like the Rambam, that the reason why we count, we do extra candles each night is the concept of Milan the Kodesh, they Muridim. Is when we do things with Kedusha, with holiness, we look always to go back and never to retreat, never to go backwards. Nylon the Kodesh, we go up, and also below Meridim, we don't go back. So if you lit one candle the first night, two candles the second night, what are you going to do the third night? Oh, well, if I only have enough for three, I should stop there. Says Rukhan Kanievsky, quoting Rav Shach, no. You light two candles, because we don't go backwards. Granted, you don't have three, but lighting one would be going backwards. You lit one the first night, two the second night, and one the third night? No, on the third night, light two. Light two on the third night. Don't go backwards. That's what Rav Chaim Kanievsky postulates. And he says, but you have the wrong number there. Isn't it better to have a one versus a two on the third night? He says, no, we don't, the hacker issue is not a problem in doing the mitzvah. I'm doing the basic level mitzvah. I'm not doing mahadrin. I'm doing the basic level mitzvah, and I'm not retreating. I'm not going backwards. That's the view of Chaim Kanievsky. Very, very interesting. Yes. Father's first.
So here, though, where you when you're making the bracha, you know where you stand, whether you're doing the one
correct.
Or you're doing the two. Whereas in the other case, when you made the
correct.
Bracha, you had it wrong and had the wrong intention.
Correct. So, yeah, that does not sound so simple. Yes. Ooh, very interesting question, right? Could you, if you're short a candle, so be ingenuitive, cut one in half? The tricky thing is, depends how long the candle is. What you need to do with that candle, it has to have enough wax to burn for 30 minutes. Now the regular, what you call the Tells colored candles you get in the mail, those ones are just enough, usually, for 30 minutes. And especially actually on the later nights of Hanukkah, when there's a lot of candles on the table. Yeah, so then that's right. So, yeah, you could play with oil. Yeah. Right, right, again, but you know. Right, right. That's tricky for Shabbos.
Would they say differently?
Yeah. But then they're not lighting multiple candles, so they don't get into this issue to begin with.
Huh?
They don't get into this issue to begin with,
well,
like Josh is saying.
Well, I'm saying there's one per household, right?
Right.
I'm saying, let's say it's the third night and you only have two candles. Right.
So you're only lighting one.
So you're only lighting one.
Yeah.
Meaning, Horror Chaim would agree for the Sfarim issue to differently.
Yeah. Now, I found two other people in print that give opinions here what to do in such a case. Again, the consensus seems to be of modern poskim is in such a case, you for sure were Yotze, at least the basic level, not like the Ksav Sofer, maybe not like the Schaya Adam, debatable what the Mishnah Berurah too. But there's another idea out there that the following. When I light, let's say the case over here, I lit seven candles on a sixth night. There was a moment in time I lit six candles. At that moment in time, if you stop right there, did I do the mitzvah perfectly? Yes. I started from the last, the left, and I lit six candles. My mistake was I added another. But since in general we say the mitzvah goes hadlaka osa mitzvah, what would be if I have all my candles at enough oil, was not in a windy spot, I lit my candle, and a moment later it went out. We talked about this last week. If all your ingredients were there, and it just blew out, happens to be your yotze. Hadlaka osa mitzvah, your lighting is the mitzvah itself. The burning the 30 minutes, okay, that's the full fulfillment of the mitzvah. But as long as all the ingredients were there at that first moment, you were yotze, you were good. So, multiple people I found arguing this argument. I found Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rav Yalshov, as well as the Chodashani of Nissen Karelitz. They all paskin that as long as you lit, if you overshoot, right, if you undershoot, that the case we were talking about a moment ago, okay, you never got there. But where you overshoot, so there was a moment in time you had the right number. You just added an extra one. So that moment in time is good. He did the mitzvah. What do you think about that?
So does this go exclusively based on the ma'isa, or does it go on your kavana? Your kavana was to light an extra candle.
Excellent. Very good point. Is your intention was, I'm not finished yet.
Right.
I'm going to light another candle. So how does that work? I'm lighting the sixth. I'm about to light the seventh. I have kavanah to light the seventh.
My kavanah is to have yotze the mitzvah. My kavanah is to light whatever night it is tonight.
time was to
yeah, so
he didn't think it was a seven night. He was
sure about it.
Do
you hear this? Good child, no? What would he say?
Which probably happened 3 seconds ago.
Yeah.
That's how it
does. Yeah.
So that's the question is, do you use the bracha on the kavana or the maisa?
Well, that's a different question.
Yeah.
If you set up seven in there, but it's the sixth night, and as you're lighting, you say, oh no, you know, in your mind, you say, oh no, I put one extra, and you don't like the last one, is that a problem?
Very good. Similar thing.
If you're in the Ksav Sofer, if I didn't say it's all of
that. Right, the Ksav Sofer would say the whole thing doesn't work.
If you're not in the Ksav Sofer, it sounds like
Ksav Sofer
is the only one who seems so.
Right. It might be
Prima Gadol.
Yes.
Rav Shaf's answer was the other direction. So,
right.
So he's.
He would say.
Seemingly in this conversation, he's not necessarily helpful.
Right. He would say, you're fine.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Woody?
Right. I hear.
Who says?
Okay. We'll walk that back.
I'm saying he's not answering this side.
So I found, so interesting when you see these, sometimes when you read halach tshuva, so they'll refer to earlier poskim who take an opinion, or go through a Moshe Feinstein, they'll quote, the Chasam Sofer says like this, but, I had a question on them. Here in this tshuva, I'm not sure if the posek, this sort of Forsheimer, knew of these other psukim out there, because again, it's very unorganized, this issue written up in halacha. You find a little bit here, a little bit there. Not sure he saw them. But he was asked this question. If you look, he writes very strongly, V'shamati from before Shaima, She'ein svar lomar. He writes very strongly, there's no argument you can make, which I find in three big poskim, there's no argument you can make that you're Yotze once you lit the sixth, even though you go on to light the seventh. Why does he argue that? Maybe along the lines of Berger, what you were saying, but that, how do you view this as, this is viewed as one action you're doing. I'm lighting all seven candles. That's my intention. That's viewed as one action. And therefore, if it's viewed as one action, you can't just stop and break up the action. I'm going on. So, Nanela, to just argue that you have six there, Mr. Forsheimer didn't think it's so simple, which I could hear. I could hear both sides. I could hear, you pause that moment in time. Or do you say, no, since my intention was to light more candles, I have to go further. But either way, it does come out, most poskim would rule in such a case that if you lit extra candles, you would be yotze the actual mitzvah itself. There was a Ksav Sofer who said you'd have to do the whole lighting again with the bracha. There's perhaps one could argue that the Chavetz Chaim, Chai Adam, would also be nervous about such a thing, adding more candles. You see from Reb Chaim Kanievsky and others, maybe not. Do we break down the mitzvah? Do we look at it as it's finished after you do sixth? Or do we say, no, that's one big lighting? Not simple. But like many things you see in halacha, it's so fascinating. All the minutiae of halachic issues that could come about just from one simple menorah, lighting a candle on Hanukkah. And I'll just end with this thought. Hanukkah is one of the two rabbinic holidays that we celebrate, right? The big three, Shal Shal Galim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, those are all in the Torah, right? It's Hanukkah and Purim that are rabbinic. And Hanukkah is actually the last one. Purim took place beforehand. Purim is a very easy, understandable, they want to wipe us out. Hold over door on the lane of Chalasenu. They saved us. So yeah, let's celebrate Hashem saved us. Exactly. Hanukkah, despite the fact everyone thinks it's a mitzvah to eat jelly donuts, but that's not, Hanukkah, the main point is exactly what we're doing here today. It's lahodos lahalo. Not the eating part per se, but to thank Hashem for his salvation. On the Hanukkah, the threat was religious. They wanted to stop us from learning Torah. You know, more akin, you know, people use the mashal. The Holocaust was like Purim, and the Jews had to suffer through Soviet Russia. That's more like Hanukkah. Because there, they wanted to stop, you know, the person being Jew. And really, in our times, here in America today, we have both. We have the Omdemolino Lachalaseno, unfortunately, around the world, you see a tremendous rise in anti-Semitism. And also, you see that, unfortunately, the abyss of assimilation that takes place in the Jewish world. And, you know, even amongst people that used to be pro-Israel, you know, person, secular Jews, further away from Torah Judaism, but, you know, they used to attach themselves at least to remnants of Judaism, to the state of Israel. And unfortunately, you see on the college campus how negative the view is on the Jewish state. And, you know, Hanukkah, with our observance of these halachas, many halachas of Hanukkah, you know, that itself is a testimony beyond the light of the menorah, but the keeping of halachic tradition and the new questions that come in and debated generation after generation show that that light is still burning, and despite all our enemies who want to stifle that light of Torah, Baruch Hashem, it goes on, and Baruch Hashem, we should all be zocha to see the geula, which hopefully is coming very soon in our days. Thank you very much.